Most of you know that we are in this spiritual warfare series. We've been in it for over a month, and we've talked about a lot of things. And we're going to talk about spiritual warfare again today from Ephesians chapter 6. We started there over a month ago. We're there again today. Ephesians chapter 6. It's called Putting on the Armor. And so if you've got your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn to them. If you don't, there might be one on a chair below you somewhere. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. It's a little different than the translation I read a month ago when we were in Ephesians 6. But I'll point out to you why I've picked the New Living Translation in a moment when we get there. Ephesians 6, Putting on the Armor. Raise your hand if you got your Bibles ready for Ephesians 6. Okay? Good. Tim, are we going to have it on the big screen? Okay. I guess so. If you don't have your Bible, you get to look at the big screen. Here we go. Ephesians 6, verse 10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. If you were here with us when we started, I read from a different translation and it said, withstand the wiles, which means trickery, schemes, and Paul challenges us, get the armor on to be able to withstand the tricks of the devil. I don't know why, Tim, but this sounds like it's ringing like crazy. It sounds like it's bouncing back and forth here like crazy. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. I mentioned to you when we started this journey, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against spiritual beings. And Paul writes, evil spirits, dark rulers, evil rulers, mighty powers in the darkness of the world. And so we need to go to this battle on our knees. Spiritual war, spiritual battle. We need to do it spiritually. 13. He says again, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. I like the New Living Translation for that phrase because as I mentioned to you last week, the enemy will strike. And I like what Paul says here in this translation. You get the armor on and you'll still be standing when the enemy strikes. Praise God. We don't want to be mowed down by the enemy. And so he reminds us, get the armor on because he's going to strike. And after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. And he begins to elaborate on the parts of the armor. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Many of your Bibles will say the breastplate of righteousness. He's talking about getting the pieces of the armor on. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18, pray. Not a bad idea, is it? He could stop right there. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent. I love the new translation here. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. That calls us to pray regularly, often, passionately, in travailing prayer. And he says, pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Over the last several weeks, I have been attempting... This is week five already. I have been attempting to enlighten us to the reality and the trickery and the schemes and the lies of the enemy. You say, well, why would we do that? Number one, he's real. Number two, he's trying to tear the church apart. He's trying to tear America apart. He's trying to tear, he and his followers, trying to tear families apart. He's real. And friends, I don't think this is newsflash to any of y'all because you've been here for a month. He's gaining ground in every arena in America. He's gaining ground in the family. He's gaining ground in our students. He's gaining ground in our churches. He's gained ground in our government. He is gaining ground in every arena in America. And I would just suggest to us today, if we remember nothing else, it's time for the church to wake up and get on the armor of God. Because the adversary is gaining ground in every arena in our lives and in America. And so I have attempted over these last few weeks to remind us he is real and he is about ruining everything that is of God. I have reminded us, or at least I've tried to enlighten us to the facts that sometimes we, even in the church, are inviting the adversary into our homes. We spent a couple weeks talking about that. Sometimes we, even in the church, are allowing the adversary to get the upper hand on us in the church. You say, how, Jim, is he doing that? By keeping us mad at each other, by us holding grudges, bitterness, unwillingness to forgive, and perhaps even worse than that, the churches of America today too oftentimes fall into the same category that is addressed in Revelation chapter 2 when he said, you are lukewarm at best, and because you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. The adversary has clouded our eyes and our thinking to rationalize living like, looking like, acting like the world is okay. The adversary has blinded not only the eyes of the world, we saw that in 2 Corinthians last week, he's blinded the eyes that of those that have not seen the light. I fear he is also blinding the eyes of the church to help us understand that living just like the world is perfectly okay when God has called us to live holy lives and righteous lives, and the adversary is saying to the church, don't worry about the small stuff. And so I've tried for these few weeks to enlighten us to the wiles of the devil. I've told you from week one, I am in no way, shape, or form here to grandize or glamorize the accuser of the brethren. But we must recognize in the church he's real, and we must recognize what he's doing, and we must get on the armor of God. I've mentioned to you some of the difficult things that are happening around our nation, even in our churches, because the enemy has infiltrated the camp. And so we are reminded from the words of Jesus, I mentioned this a couple of times, this enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. This enemy of our souls is here, even amongst God's people, to keep us oppressed and depressed, so we are anxious and just unhappy when Jesus wants to give us new life. And so I have attempted over these weeks to just make us aware of these things. I have reminded us that Things like immorality is winning out over godly principles. I've reminded us that this is a very real, these are very real issues in America. It breaks my heart to think of what God intended for sexuality, for example. God intended this beautiful husband and wife relationship, and the devil has exploited it to humanity today to say, take what you can get whenever you can get it. It breaks my heart to see where we are at today with marriage in our great nation and other parts of the world. It's being redefined. It was very clear for 6,000 or 7,000 years, and because the adversary has infiltrated our churches and our government and all of our being, that marriage is being redefined, it's being minimized, it's being ruined, and the adversary and his followers are the cause, and we're buying right into it. It pains me to see what is happening in post-secondary education, and I suppose to some degree even in high school education, when we are instilling in our young people no sense of right and wrong, no sense of absolute truth. Brothers and sisters, did you know we have some absolute truth? It comes from here. Did you know that? We still have absolute truth. But the enemy of our souls has infiltrated in every camp. And we don't regard this as important anymore. We regard this, as a matter of fact, as outdated and old-fashioned. Who needs it? After all, as our politicians have said, I shall not name any, lately, we need to get with the times. Whose times? The adversaries? Is that the times we need to get with? And so I simply suggest to you, my brothers and sisters, it is high time the church takes notice and wakes up to these lies of the deceiver and get on the armor and get into prayer. Because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. We are not fighting against human beings, but the prince of the power of the air, the god of this age, the evil incarnate. He's here amongst us. And so let me just say this before I go on to the parts of the armor. If we're going to continue in the church to do the same things that we have done in these last 50 years, if we're going to continue to do the same thing that we've always done, and the behaviors include the same thing that we've always done, and expect different results in the future, it isn't going to happen. Different results are not going to come until our attitudes and our behaviors change in the church house. We've got to stop inviting the enemy into our lives. We've got to stop inviting the enemy into the church. And we've got to put on the armor and pray like we have never prayed before. Let us take a look at the parts of the armor. Paul writes, we need the belt of truth. Let me just say this about the truth again. The sword of the Spirit is also the Word of God. We get to that later. But let me just say this about the truth. If we don't know what's in here, friends, how are we going to know what the truth is? You're going to just take some preachers, just take my advice and say, swallow it, hook, line, and sinker? You're going to take some politician's advice? You're going to take somebody on the street's advice? If we don't know what's in here, how are we going to know the truth? We need to know what's in here. We need to get on the belt of truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Jesus said, my word is truth. We need to know what's in the Word of God, brothers and sisters. The Word of God isn't even getting read today in way too many homes. Did you hear the statistics this last week? 40-some percent of said Christians in America, 40-some percent say, yes, I read it on a somewhat regular basis. African Americans, it's 70-some percent, praise be to God. But 40% of white American Christians read their Bible with any regularity. How will we know to tell the lies of the devil that he comes at us very subtly? I talked about this for 2 weeks. How are we going to know those lies if we don't know the truth? So Paul talks about the belt of truth. He talks about the breastplate of righteousness in the New Living, the armor of righteousness. Let me just say this about that. If we continue to experiment, and delve into unrighteousness, we will never be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. If we continue to play around with the devil's fire, we will get burned. I give you a long list the first couple of weeks of the ways the devil will slip into your homes, into our homes, slip into the church. And if we continue to play around with the adversary, he will burn you. He will burn us. We have got to get on the breastplate of righteousness and stop delving in unrighteousness. Let me give you just, a lot of you that weren't here those first 2 weeks don't even know what I'm talking about, perhaps. But I'm talking about pornography, drugs, Ouija boards, dream catchers, horoscopes, Dungeons and Dragons. These are the tools the adversary will use to slip into your home. Rock music, this nasty stuff that's killing and maiming and blood and gore and trash. He will use that to slip into your home, and he will oppress even believers because we've rolled out the red carpet and said, come on in. If we continue to delve into unrighteousness, we're never going to have on the breastplate of righteousness. We're never going to combat the wiles of the devil. I mentioned to you on week 2, I think it was, of this good friend of mine that said his son was having bad dreams. Heard about dream catchers, and I told you how spiritual these things are. And so why not? Let's try to stop these dreams. And so bought a dream catcher, and I told you what happened. Remember, those of you that are here? The boy's dreams, bad dreams, stopped. Now, I haven't followed up to know if this was long-term or they stopped, but I'll tell you what will happen in the long term because I know it for a fact. I've been there. I've been to the houses when they say, Jim, somebody at night is walking up and down my steps. Somebody at night is upstairs slamming the doors, and I'm the only one in the house. I have been there. These people are not crazy. They have invited him in. And I look around the house and I ask this person that recently said to me, Jim, I don't know what's going on here. I live in a brand new house. I'm the only one that's been here. And yet every night I'm hearing somebody up walking up and down the steps, and I'm hearing doors slam, and I'm the only one in here. And I'm looking around, and I come to her bedroom, which is normally not a place we'd investigate, but Sherry and I were there, and there's this big old dream catcher. And I said, what's that? Well, I was having bad dreams once in a while, and I just thought maybe that would help. Did it? For a little while. I said, now has it helped? You know what's going on up and down your stairs? You have invited the enemy in. And if we're going to continue to delve into unrighteousness, we will never combat the wiles of the devil. We need to get on the breastplate of righteousness. He talks about the shoes. I've got to hurry on here. He talks about the shoes of the gospel of peace. Did you know that one of the adversary's delights is your lack of peace? The adversary delights when you're not at peace. Did you know that? Did you know that we have a Savior that's called the Prince of Peace? Amen? We have a Savior that's called the Prince of Peace. God is a God of order. Jesus' name, one of His names, is the Prince of Peace. And the adversary is delighted when you're not at peace. And that's why Paul tells us to get on the shoes, the gospel of peace. Jesus challenges us to be peacemakers in Matthew 5:9. The writer of Hebrews says, live at peace with all men. The adversary don't want us at peace. The adversary don't even want you at peace with your spouse. The adversary don't want you at peace with your children. That's why Paul says, get on the shoes, the gospel of peace, and live in the Prince of Peace, shield of faith. Faith. What is faith? What do we put our faith in? The adversary wants you to put it in a whole lot of stuff other than Jesus. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? The adversary wants you to put your faith in a lot of things. Going to church, baptism, catechism, good person. Have you got the shield of faith that only comes from Jesus? James reminds us in James 2:26 that faith without works is dead. What kind of faith do we have? Do we have faith in the Son of God, the resurrected Son, victorious Son of God? Do we have faith in Him for salvation alone, or do we have faith in something else? Because the adversary wants us to have faith in something else. And if our faith isn't solidly in Jesus Christ as our Lord, it's faith that will not deflect the fiery arrows of the adversary. This is my definition of faith when it comes to this shield of faith. Faith without responding to the call, come follow me, is not faith. You see, when Jesus says, come unto me, He's challenging us, come and be my follower. And to say, yep, I got a faith, preacher, and never follow Jesus is not faith. And the adversary is perfectly okay. I told you this about week 3. Perfectly okay with churches full of people that never put their surrendered, unconditional faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. He's perfectly okay with that. He will keep our minds cluttered and our minds occupied and our minds busy and say, don't worry about that. You're in church after all, for heaven's sakes. Faith without responding to the call, the Holy Spirit will beckon each and every one of us, come. The Son of God has died for us, and while He was here, He said, come, follow me. The Holy Spirit will work in our lives, and He will say, come, come unto the Master. Trust Jesus Christ as Lord. And this faith, this shield of faith, is a faith that responds to the invitation that says, come and follow me. Come be my follower. The helmet of salvation. Acts 4:12 says there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Friends, Jesus is the only one that will save. Not me, not the priest, not the pope, not your spouse. It is Jesus. And if we haven't recognized an absolute need for Jesus the Christ as our Savior, friends, we need to. The adversary likes people to be just content without Jesus. Paul says, get on the helmet of salvation. And friends, Romans 10 and 9 says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus, then God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. Salvation comes no other way but through faith, surrendered, unconditional faith in the Son of God. The adversary wants us to think it comes in a lot of ways. You're doing good. You're being pretty good. Get to church once in a while. Throw in a few bucks in the tithe. The adversary wants us to think you're right just where you're at. But if we haven't been born again, if we haven't been saved by the grace of God through your faith in His Son, friends, we need to be. And lastly, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This goes back to the belt of truth. Let me just say this about the Word of God. It's still the most popular book. I'm trying to get the right words. It's the most sold book in the world. But it isn't getting read. This is the sword of the Spirit. We can hold up our shield in battle if we've got a good, strong faith, but we need to have the sword, the Word of God. And friends, I can't emphasize enough. We can read all the books in the Bible. We can spend massive amounts of time on the internet. We can have 2, 3, 4 degrees. But if we don't know the Word of God, how will we know the will of God? Anybody? If we don't know the Word of God and what's in it, how will we know the will of God? And if we don't know the will of God, how are we going to know God? The adversary, remember we saw it last week, has blinded, or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, has blinded the eyes and the minds of the people that have not been enlightened. The adversary blinds our minds and eyes. This is the only way they're going to be enlightened. As we respond to God's Spirit and we get into God's Word and understand who He is, why we need Him, what He's done for us, we need the sword of the Spirit if we're ever going to have the armor. Now let me just close with this. Paul said at the end of that Ephesians 6 passage, he said it not once or twice but 3 times, pray. I don't know how vibrant your prayer life is, friends, but I think we as a church, I mean the universal church, are coming up woefully inadequate in our prayer lives. And let me just say this. I believe that we are in the difficult times that we are in. I likened it last week and the earlier service to the mess that we have found ourselves in this great United States of America. I believe that we are in this mess because believers have not put on the whole armor of God. Oh yeah, we'll rationalize. Yeah, but preacher, I'm saved. And we don't have a clue about holding up the shield of faith or taking the sword of the Spirit. And yeah, we'll argue, yeah, preacher, I got the helmet of salvation. And we never get into His Word. We need to get on the whole of the armor. And I believe, just think back for a moment. Just think back, mainline denominations, America, 1850s to 1900. Churches growing, all denominations proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Think 100, fast forward now to 21st century, and we have mainline denominations writing their own Bibles. Why? Because we've let the adversary in. Why are we crumbling in this great nation in our moral fiber, in our moral fabric? Why are our prisons and jails full of people? Because the believers have not got on the armor of God. It is not the world's position to put on the armor of God until they know Jesus. It is the position of the church to get on the armor of God. And we've let Him get in. We've let Him get into our homes, our personal lives. We've let Him get into the churches. We've let Him get into the government. and the moral fabric and fiber of this great nation is crumbling because the adversary is seeing to it that it will decay. I asked the earlier service this morning, does anybody listen to Christian radio? Anybody listen to Christian radio a fair amount? We've got some stations around here. I'd encourage you to start listening, friends. Anybody hear Janet Parshall? She's an afternoon host that has guests on at 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock. Thursday and Friday, did anybody hear her? Friends, the religious liberties in America are out the window. She had lawyers on there. She had pastors on there. She had four different fields of expert. The religious freedoms, the liberties in this great nation are out the window. I suggest to believers everywhere, it's time we get on the whole armor of God and begin to pray. So we see a reverse of this deceiver coming into our homes and into our churches and into our schools and into our government. I suggest, friends, this simple challenge that we start getting on the whole armor. Time is up, so I got to quit. Friends, I told the earlier service, I think you know me well enough. You know my heart. I'm not here to chew out. I'm not here to get after. But God has put a passion on my heart for people to be born again. Until we have been born again, we're not ready for heaven. That's not the gospel of Jim. That's the gospel of Jesus. And He's given me a passion on my heart for the church to be the church of God. Not the church of the world, the church of the adversary, but the church of God. And He's given me this passion. Wake up, church! We are losing ground in this battle in America, this greatest nation on earth. We are losing ground in our churches. And God has given me this passion. People of God, come to know the Savior. Come to know the Master in a personal way and be transformed. And let the Holy Spirit of God move us and shape us, inform us. Because quite frankly, we have let the world form us and shape us into what the world wants us to be. And so I don't mean to get after you. I have a passion that God's people act like, look like, live like, pray like God's people. That's what He's put on my heart. And I think it's time we get the gospel, the full armor of the gospel on. So we start withstanding the wiles of the devil.